Tonight's shiur for the week of Parshas Mishpatim. Begin with a story. There were two mechutanim that they're arranging for their children's upcoming wedding, and they wanted to buy them an apartment. So the father of the kala was searching, and he found a really, really good deal on a place. But of course, before purchasing it, he wanted to make sure that it was agreed upon, everybody would like the place. So first thing, he sent his daughter to check it out. She arrived at the apartment, looked, checked it out, came home, told her father, the story's like this. The apartment itself, she said, is very nice. However, the thing I'm not sure about is who's living in that building. She says, what's wrong? Says, a friend of mine is living in that building, and she's been looking for a shidduch for quite a while and hasn't found. And not only that, her older sister even is also hasn't found a shidduch. So she says, I'm concerned that, you know, we move in there and she sees me with my chassan, and she'll, you know, make her feel bad, you know, because she couldn't find a shidduch, and her sister even more, you know, the older sister. And so I thought, maybe it's not proper, you know, to go into to live there. So the father heard. He said, yeah, it's a good question. So he said, before he, you know, makes any major purchase over here, he wants to ask a shaila. So he decided he was going to ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky what to do. So he had a friend of his who was close to Rav Chaim. They used to go in and ask him shailas all the time. So he called him and he said, can you please go into Rav Chaim and ask him this question? So the person's reaction was, what are you wasting Rav Chaim's time for? It's pashut. Of course you can buy the apartment. I mean, not like this girl, you know, doesn't know that her friend's getting married. It's not like surprise, you know. She knows probably going to be invited to the wedding. I mean, she knows she's getting married. So what's the big deal? So why bother asking Rav Chaim? Anyways, the father wasn't happy with that. He said, "Becholzot, you know, he's spending all this money on a place, even though it was a good deal, it was a lot of money, he still wanted to make 100% sure." So he decided to go himself and ask Rav Chaim. So he put the shiloh forth, and wouldn't you know it, Rav Chaim thought for a minute and said, "This is a difficult shiloh." He says, I don't want to answer it. He says, ask Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. Ad kedekach. So, father went to Rav Aaron Leib and asked him the shaila. So first, he said, you know, I understand, you know, you really, really want this place. You've been looking for this apartment. You finally found something. And it was, you know, a good deal, a really good deal. And, you know, how can I tell you not to buy it? I mean, you know, that was his first reaction. But then he closed his eyes and he was thinking for a minute. And then he opened his eyes and he said, but how could you do that? And the expression was, well, echav shal lidkor et einav shel hasheni. It's an expression to poke out the eyes of the other, meaning, how can you cause such jealousy to somebody? I mean, you're going to be there, she's going to be there, she's going to be so jealous, the friend, seeing you marry. How can you do that? How can you live there when you're going to cause such jealousy? And he kept repeating it, saying it again. So the father said to Rav Aaron Leib, he said, listen, the family we're talking about with the two daughters, they happen to be very, very fine people, very good-hearted people, and you know, it's probably not going to bother them that much, really. So Rav Aaron Leib said, what, are they greater than Malachim? He says, the angels are jealous. So they're not greater than angels. He says, you can't help it. It's just that. So he said, it's not kedai to buy this apartment. However, the father of the kala was, didn't want to give up on the apartment so fast. So he had an idea. And he asked Rav Steinman this. He said, what about if I buy the apartment, but they don't go in, we rent it out? And then, with the rental money, we can they'll rent another place. And this way, I'll have it as an investment, because it's a good deal, and I don't have to worry about the problem of jealousy. So Barnley said, that's fine, you want to do that, that's wonderful. And he gave him a bracha, and everything should go well, fine. So that's exactly what he did. The father purchased the apartment, and they arranged to have somebody else rent it, and they rented something else for the young couple. And wouldn't you know it, he says, at the night of the chasana, the older sister got engaged, and it wasn't too long later that her friend also got married. And then, you can understand what happened after that, the young couple took over their apartment that was meant to be for them to begin with. Next, we have a shaila, which dates back about a couple of years ago in the winter in Kislev, Tavshin Ayin Gimel, when there was the war in the south, but not the recent war, it was the one like from Gaza, it's like 2 years ago. And they were sending the missiles, whatever, and down south. So there are many people who were, you know, living down there that they wanted to run away. They're, you know, it was very dangerous. And people in the center, whatever, they would offer their homes for these people from down south. So they actually created a central telephone thing where you can call. Both people can call. You know, if somebody has a place that they're willing to open up to people from the south, they would give their name, and then when somebody from the south says, "Do you have a call in? Is there anybody who will put us up?" And you know, they make the shidduch. Okay, so there was a tzaddik. His name was Shimon, and he had a place to, you know, put up to some family, and he offered it. So Reuven, from down south, calls also. He says, do you have a place to, you know? So they said, yes, and they made the shidduch, they made Reuven and Shimon. Okay. So they came, and they tremendous hospitality, opened up their house, and gave them even food, and this, and very, very. So as they're talking, you know, here and there, so Shimon the Balabais said, asked Reuven, where you live exactly, you know, down south. So he named a certain yeshuv down there, and he named it. Okay, fine. Meanwhile, a few days later, or the Balabai Shimon, he bumps into a friend of his who happens to live in that yeshuv. And he says, oh, you're not going to believe this, but somebody from yeshuv is living in my house. I'm putting him up. You know, they came for those during the war. And yeah. Oh, yeah, really? Who is it? And he said, Mishpachat Reuven, you know. So he says, there's no such family in my, lives in this yeshuv. He says, what? He says, but man, that's what he told me he lives. He goes, well, I know everybody in our yeshuv. Not such a big place. There's no such family. So he says, so that got Shimon a little bit upset. So he approached Reuven and he said, why did you lie to me? So he said, well, and he goes, no, come on, where do you live? You don't live in that yeshuv. I know, I have a friend, he lives there. You don't live in this yeshuv down south. What's going on? Where do you live? What? So he says, okay, I'll tell you the truth. He says, I live up north. So he says, so what are you doing in my house? So he says, well, we're very, very, very poor. And we don't have a place of our own. And we go from one place to another place. So our last place where we were was like a bomb shelter, like a miklat where we're living in. And it was smelly and there was mice and this. And it was just, we couldn't anymore. So then we heard about this thing that putting people up and, you know, from down south. So I figured, hey, here's an opportunity. So we called in and set us up for your family, and that's how we got to you. So he said, listen, you know, that's not Beseder. He says, why? You know, what's the difference? I mean, it's a big mitzvah to put us up also. We are a poor family and whatever. So what's the difference? You have even maybe a bigger mitzvah putting us up than from people from down south. So really, what do you care? So he said, nothing doing. I wanted to open up my house for people from down south, and you're not from down south, so therefore I would ask that you pay me for living here. And he made a cheshbon. He said the rental plus food or whatever would come out to about 3,000 shekels. So he said, but I understand you're poor, so I'll ask from you two-thirds, 2,000 shekels. Anyway, so, he wasn't too happy about that. He didn't want to pay. He said, well, you were open. We're going to open your house anyways. What's the difference? Back and forth, back and forth. So the question is, who is right in this situation? So the main din over here is, it's a famous Gemara. It's called, the sugi is called Zenene Vezelo Chaser. If somebody gets pleasure from somebody else, and the person who's getting pleasure from is not losing anything, so then he doesn't have to pay him. For the example given actually in the Gemara is a person has a house, and somebody plants himself in there without asking him. So the Gemara says, if that place wasn't up for rent anyways, in other words, he wasn't getting rent, it's empty, sitting there empty, and this guy, was there, he doesn't have to pay him for the rent. That's called Zenene, he gets the pleasure of living there. And Lo Chaser, the guy, the Balabai, Lo Chaser, he wasn't going to rent out anyway. If he was going to rent out, now he can't because this guy's there. Okay, that's understood, he has to pay him. But he wasn't going to rent out anyway, so he's Lo Chaser. And this guy is a Nene, and he had no other place to go, so he doesn't have to pay. That's the Ikur Din, and it's the Shulchan Aruch brings it down. However, the Rama says that today your average house is called a house that is rentable, that people would, even though right now no somebody's not there, but it's just very, it potential to be rented, and therefore somebody who lives there has to pay. So that being the case, it would stand to reason that this the Balabais Taina is correct. That he said, listen, you came into my house and it's Zen and Evezeh Lochaser is not applicable because I could rent it out even though he was prepared to give it away free to somebody else. That's his prerogative. But Lamaise is a house that is available to rent. It has a din of that. And therefore he has the right to ask him for the rent. And the Taina that, well, why are we any different than the people down south? So Zilberstein says they are different. So the people down south, they were mamish, it's a shayla pikuach nefesh. There were missiles being fired. People did die, unfortunately, during the time, and many were injured, and some severely. And therefore, it was pikuach nefesh. So you can't say that it's the same thing as putting up a poor family. I mean, it's very nice, but it's not pikuach nefesh. He said the truth is, if it would be pikuach, if this poor family was such a dire state that they wouldn't go in there, it would be life-threatening, okay. So then, is this what to talk about? It could be that it would be okay, because really what does it matter if it's saving this one's life or saving that one's life? Yeah, okay, that already thing. But in this case, okay, it was uncomfortable, no, it wasn't life-threatening. If we wouldn't be in this Miklai, he'd go another place, as he's been doing until now. So therefore, the bottom line is, since it's not a pikuach nefesh, the poor man would have to pay for the stay in this apartment. Next, we have some shilas with taxi drivers. First, Reuven stops a taxi, and he says he wants to go to such a place. The driver says, no problem. He gets in, and he turns on the meter, starts the meter. Okay, so they're driving, and all of a sudden, they get into a big, big traffic jam. Bumper to bumper, and it's not moving. So the passenger is making a cheshbon. He says, well, this is ridiculous. I'm sitting here. I can get there faster walking. And the meter is ticking away. every minute I'm paying, and we're not moving. So he says to the driver, can you let me off here? I'll pay you what it says, obviously, on the meter to here. But, I'll get off here. All this walk. This is crazy for me to pay for nothing. So that's what the passenger said. The driver's taina was, well, that's not fair. You told me that you want to go to such a place, and now I'm stuck in traffic. Nobody's going to get into my cab now in this situation, and I'm stuck. It's not fair. You put me into this situation where now you're leaving me, and I can't get anybody else. I'm stuck in the middle here, so it's not fair. So the question is, who's right? Does he have to pay him for the whole trip or stay in or whatever, or can he leave in the middle like that? So, as is the case, whenever we have a shaila, we try to find some type of a source in the Gemara which will help us. So there is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Fine Tesamid base, which seems to be, at first glance, similar. What is that? There was a person that hired a ship to take him his merchandise to a certain destination. Pai said he agreed on a price, whatever, to take him there. So on the way, they made a few stops on the way, whatever. On the way, one of the stops, the passenger said, you know what? Let me off here with my merchandise. I decided I'll stay here. And I'll pay you for the half the journey, whatever it was. And that's it. The question is he allowed to do that, or does he have to pay for the full journey? So that they agreed upon. So the Gemara says over there that if this ship can find another passenger to take him from there, so he's not losing anything, so then, fine, then he can do that. But if he's not able to find another passenger, so then he has to pay him for the full trip. And in the place that he does find another passenger, let's say, so we said he doesn't have to pay, but he could have complaints on him that he's taking a passenger, somebody else who he's not used to taking. Let's say he liked the first guy because he knows him, whatever. Now he's taking somebody that he doesn't know, but he can complain. But monetarily, the first person doesn't have to pay him because he found himself another passenger. Okay. So, based on this, you might say that here, since they agreed on going to a certain place, and now he's getting out early, and the driver cannot find another passenger because he's in the middle of traffic, so therefore he would have to pay. However, that's not the case, because the two situations are not similar. Why not? Because in the case of the ship, the person disembarked early for no apparent reason. I wasn't forced to. They just said, I'll get off here, whatever, I want to get off here. No reason to. Everything is fine. We decided to. So in such a situation, when you're stopping in the middle for no real good reason, so then you have to pay, unless they find somebody else. But here, it's a different story. Here, an onus happened. Here's a situation where he was caught by surprise, and he doesn't want to sit there in traffic for no reason, and he can walk faster. So therefore, it's not the same. Here it could be that since he was in a situation at an onus, he doesn't have to pay. So that's number one. Furthermore, it's understood that nobody is going to want to sit in traffic and pay for the meter going when he could just walk faster. That's understood. So we could say that when the person gets in the cab, it's almost like an unwritten law, whatever. It's understood that it's under condition that I don't have to sit in traffic for 2 hours and pay for what it says on the meter. It's almost understood. So that's another reason why he wouldn't have to pay. And the third reason is that since it was a metered ride, so we could look at it, it's not like he's not paying for the whole journey. He's paying as it's going along. It's like renting it per every tick of the meter. He's renting it, and now he has to pay this, now he has to pay that. And it's like a separate, every tick is like a different rental. So Mela, if he stops in a certain place, he pays for what it says. And that's that. It's like renting it for that amount of time. It's like an ongoing rental. It's not like a full thing. So for all those reasons, he says he's allowed to get out of the cab and pay him what it says on the meter for that point, and so. Okay, our next cabbie, Shaila, is the following. A person called the cab. And he says, I want to go to this certain shopping, certain store, whatever. And I told him where it is, Nafula. And they were kovea, they set a price, 400 shekels. So when he turned on his cab, and they started to talk or whatever. So first he when he originally got into the cab, he said, I want to go to Afula, you know. So fine, so he could 400 shekels. And as he's driving, he says, what do you want in Afula? So he says, well, because there's a store that's I heard about, a good store, I'm going to that store. Now, when the driver heard that, he knew that that store was closed. They closed it for renovations or whatever. And he was wondering whether he has to tell the passenger, or could he play dumb? He said, okay, well, he wants to go, so I'll take him. It's going to be closed, but okay, but that's where he wants to go. That's where he wants to go. Or, you know, does he have to tell him? So as it happened, this driver did tell him, and he said, listen, I just want to let you know that the store is closed or whatever. Okay. However, the question was he chayav to do that, or could he play dumb? So the answer was given is that he cannot play dumb. He really has to tell him that it's closed. It's a din of Hashavas Aveda, right? If somebody's lost something, you have to return it. So here he would have lost his time or whatever, and money, and you have to try to save it for him. And if you can save a loss for a person, you have to do so. Even though the truth is, when it comes to the halachas of Hashavas Aveda, the rule is that you yourself, the finder, doesn't have to lose out by returning the article. In other words, if you're going to yourself lose out, it's going to cost you money, time and money, whatever, to return this article, then you don't have to do it, because you come first. So you could say, okay, so then, here he's going to, it's costing him the trip. You know, by telling him about that it's closed, it's going to cost him. He won't be able to take him on this 400 shekel trip. However, that's not called a loss. It's called not profiting. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. So he's not, if we're losing money, he doesn't have, but here he's not losing, he's not gaining. So that's not an excuse, and therefore he has to tell him. So the truth is, though, that since here this was not a metered ride, this was a hired ride, though, that he called him out, and, you know, he started on the trip, so he does have to really pay him something for the thing, not the whole trip, but it's called schar kepoel batal, means how much this driver would be willing to be paid for not to do anything. In other words, it would be an hour a trip. So how much would you be willing to be paid just to do nothing? And that's what you have to be paid. Well, the Maisa, he should tell the passenger, which he did, and the passenger does have to pay him something, but not the full value. Okay, one last Shaila, again with our taxis. There was a tourist that he stopped a taxi, and he said, I have an important meeting in a certain place, a certain city, and can you take me there? So he said, I'd like you to take me there, and then wait for me, because I'm going to be gone for an hour, and then take me back. So they agreed on the trip to be 300 shekels, and the wait, pay him 80 shekels for the wait. Okay. So that was the agreement. Good. So they arrived on time, got to his meeting, and then when he was a lot of time, he was told him he was going to be ready. Sure enough, you know, he came out at that time, and he sees, just as he gets out of the building, he sees the taxi kind of like drive up to pick him up. So, which was strange, because he thought, you know, he was like waiting for him, he'd be parked there, and he'd, you know, get in, like, why did he like pull up? So he asked the taxi driver, be honest with me, I want you to be honest with me, during this last hour or two, whatever, while he was supposed to be waiting, were you really waiting, or were you driving around making yourself some extra money? So he says, listen, I'll be honest with you. I figured I'm waiting anyways. I might as well make some extra money. So I did a few trips here in the area while I waited. He says, and how much money did you make? So he says, 100 shekels. So he says, okay, listen, if that's the case, first of all, I'm not going to pay you for the 80 shekels for the wait, because you didn't wait for me. You were driving around and making yourself some money. And not only that, since I hired you to wait, right, to wait for me, when you were driving around, you're like my worker. So I want you to, so that money that you made really belongs to me. So therefore, instead of, therefore those 100 shekels, I want to take off of the price of the of our deal over here. Instead of paying 300 plus 80, 380, I want to pay you only 280. Okay, now, first of all, before we get into the answer, that's not true. That's not true. Because even if he was your worker in this case, but the halacha would be they would split. It would be 50 shekels each, because it was his time, it was his car and his gas or whatever that it was going around. So it's not you can't say that all the money goes to the one that hired him, but it would be 50-50. Okay, but the question is, does he have a taina or not? The passenger said, I want to pay you only 280 because you didn't wait for me. He tainted, what do you care? Lamaisa, I'm here, like we agreed. And what do you care if I was driving around there? Okay, that's the Shiloh. So the answer is an interesting answer, because it's a little bit less halachic. And Rav Zilberstein says that we know that there's three simanim of the Jewish people, the Gemara says. And the Gemara says in Yevamos that Jewish people are rachmanim, baishanim, and gomlei chasadim. That their people have rachmanes, they're merciful, they're bashful, and they do chesed. Those are the three, you can tell a Jew from a goy by those three things. And therefore he says that a bal chesed who's a rachman or whatever is not going to care if, you know, so while he's supposed to be waiting for you, he went around, he made himself an extra buck. So what do you care? Again, if he wasn't there when you came out and you hired him and you dafka pay him to wait, so he'll be there as soon as you come out, that's a different story if he wasn't there. But he was there, exactly the time you needed him, he came. What do you care if he was in the meantime making himself some money? So we say that to say that you hired him for that time, and therefore any money he made that you should at least split it, that's not the case, because that wasn't your kavanah. Not a yid's kavanah. Your kavanah is, let him make a buck while he's waiting. What do I care? He says, even though you could say that the waiting time, he's paying for the waiting time. There is a svar, though. Then what's the pshat? Are you paying for the waiting time? Because I don't want to have to call a cab. I want to have you there. So as soon as I come out, I don't have to call the station and have to wait for another cab. I want you to be there. And therefore, let's say I would have come out 10 minutes earlier, 15, my meeting ended quicker than I thought, a half hour earlier. I would want you there. And you wouldn't have been there because you were driving around. So to say that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have to pay that 80 shekels, because the 80 shekels was really there you're supposed to be there for me. Whenever it happens to me that I was staying there the full time, I could have come out of there quicker. So, but he said, b'cholzot. Says even so, he was there on time and everything worked out, and therefore he suggests that he would have to pay. They should pay the 80 shekels anyways for him, and because he was on time. But he said, but if he was even a little bit late, then definitely that's a different story. That's a whole different story. You wouldn't have to pay him the 80 shekels because you didn't wait and you weren't there when I wanted you, and that's a different story. So those are our three shilas of taxi drivers, and shalvi zoicha. As we read Parshas Mishpatim, which is the parsha full of Dinei Ben Adam L'Chavero, that we should, in the schus of our diktuk in these halachas, Hashem should bring us Mashiach Tzidkenu, v'imher v'yameinu.